Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Space Travel Podcast. My name is Luke Stamey. I'm your host, and I am with
Amanda Stamey,
my co-host today, and we hope everybody's having a great afternoon. It has been an absolutely beautiful Labor Day weekend here in the state of Louisiana. I've been very appreciative of that. Normally, it's pretty hot and humid here, so the break's been nice. I wanted to start this episode off by saying thank you to everybody. Last week, we were celebrating 300 downloads, and this week, we're about to be celebrating 400 downloads. So I appreciate you guys and your listenership. It's really awesome for us. This is a hobby, so seeing those kind of numbers is pretty awesome. And we appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you for that. As everybody knows, there's been a lot of stuff happening in the space industry lately. So let's get into some of it and see what comes of it. I figure we start with SpaceX this evening. SpaceX has really been doing the most stuff lately, which is not surprising for, you know, Elon Musk and his timelines and all that. So on Sunday, August 30th, it was supposed to be quite a historical event for SpaceX with their Starlink 11 launch, SAOCOM 1B, and the Starship SN6 hop, the 150-meter hop. And it didn't go quite as planned. Even Elon was seen on Twitter saying, good chance of something will slip, but yeah, Sunday is intense. Well, something slipped. I think it was ground support stuff didn't work out. They needed some extra time to get that straightened out, and then the weather wasn't being the greatest.
It was really windy that day.
Yeah, it was. It was really windy. I mean, that's pretty much, like in Texas, that's what's been holding them up from hopping the Starship is, you know, just the wind has been so terrible. I mean, Texas. You've been to Texas, right?
Of course.
Oh, the wind there is, it's like Kansas.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It whips through the flatter regions of Texas anyway.
Well, yeah, it'll blow you over if you ain't careful.
For sure. Yes. But we did get to see one launch, which was the SAOCOM 1B. And it was a gorgeous launch. You know, took off on time. It looked great in flight, as always. SpaceX has got these flights down. Yeah. I mean, it's not surprising anymore to see them land a booster, catch both fairings. You know, like, this is starting to become commonplace, which, I mean, is amazing. It's awesome. You know, you got to be proud of them because that's a lot of work. And to coordinate a team of individuals to be able to accomplish such feats, I believe, is quite amazing.
Yeah.
But yes, the launch was beautiful. You know, separation was good. The second stage took the payload to its orbit. First stage came back down in a beautiful show. You know, you got to see the grid fins deploy. It was a little bit of a cloudy day, so you got to see those grid fins go through that layer of cloud, and you could see the cloud, like, actually going through the grid fin. So you're kind of getting an example of how they work, you know, because at one point in time, the left grid fin, like, turns while it's going through the clouds, and you can actually see it divert the air, you know, in that direction. It was very cool. But I'm a huge fan of these launches where they get to land the booster back at Cape Canaveral because, number one, camera feeds never cut.
Right.
We always get a good view of the landing. And I don't know what the number two was supposed to be, but I'm sure it was awesome. So
yeah.
It was a very beautiful landing. It couldn't have gone any smoother. They did not catch the fairing halves. I don't even think they attempted to catch the fairing halves, I believe.
I think it was really foggy.
Yeah, and I think that the Go Miss Tree and Go Miss Chief were kind of one of the issues with doing both launches that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there wasn't going to be, you know, if they had four ships, that might be one thing. But just having, you know, the two ships out there was a little difficult. So it's okay. I forgive SpaceX for not launching three rockets in one day, I guess.
Yeah, that's That's okay. Yeah. That's a lot to expect out of someone.
Well, two rockets and then a giant, powerful grain silo.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's been the joke online
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, it is like a grain silo.
It's the square mass simulator on top that makes it really look. You know those motors that they use to pump their movie
I'm
conveyor?
I'm from Kansas, really.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying, like, that's what the square thing on top reminds me of.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the conveyor system on a grain silo. But
probably just as combustible as one, too.
Oh yeah. Shoot. That 30-foot wide and God knows how tall starship full of methane and oxygen, I'd say it's a little bit flammable.
That would be an interesting experiment to see.
Yes.
Which one would have a bigger boom?
Well, I mean, Starship. We've seen that. It goes boom very big.
But we haven't seen it at the size that it's now go boom.
I don't know. I mean, SN4, was it SN4 that blew up? Had the connector issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty dang big explosion. Shot that mass simulator up real high.
Yeah.
That's 20 tons.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. But we did, speaking of Starship, we did get to see the hop of Starship SN6, and it was also extremely smooth. I mean,
it's like they're getting a feel for it now.
For sure. I mean, it was gorgeous. The power slide I did see was much more pronounced on some of the camera angles for this hop. You know, you really saw it kind of come up a very little amount, and then it slid over to the side a whole bunch before it finally got the engine under the center of mass. And then up she went, did kind of a little quarter turn, just like SN5 did. Came down real smooth. We got to see a little bit more of the descent this go around, just the way the dust was and all that. But, you know, as always, when it did touch down on the ground, we did have to wait.
Yeah.
You know, a few minutes, those like, but pulling your hair out, like, oh my gosh, is it standing?
Didn't you say to me earlier that they ended up breaking a couple legs on landing?
Oh yeah, they crunched a couple of them. It was leaning. Once the clouds cleared and we saw her sitting there, everyone was so happy it wasn't.
Yeah, there was a meme on Twitter that was the leaning tower of Starship.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it was leaning. And now that it, you know, they've already actually lifted it up, undone the legs,
oh, yeah,
put it down, got
it
back to the build site. It's back with its homies
SN
right now.
7.1 is out there now,
yes.
Ready to go boom.
Yes, we will definitely see a boom on that, but we could be blown away and not see a boom.
I will be very disappointed if they don't boom.
Well, I'm sure they're going to push it to its absolute limits.
Right.
But if it doesn't boom, that's also a good thing.
Yeah, it'll be great, but then still make it go boom.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Elon will rig it up with some. Maybe they'll put some C4 under it or something. Who knows? No, I'm just kidding. They're not gonna do that. But
no,
I wonder if they do have abort systems on these.
I would imagine they do.
I don't know. That's a good question for Elon.
Valves.
Well, I mean, like explosives.
Oh.
To take out the ship in case something goes really wrong.
I would imagine it has some sort of...
Well, actually, they're really not flying very high, so they probably don't.
Not
I don't
telling.
Know. We will see them in the future, though.
Yeah, we will.
But yes, beautiful flight, beautiful landing. The little leg thing was the biggest issue that I heard. There was a fire underneath the skirt upon landing. They got it out pretty quick and
Did
all that.
Did they ever figure out what they blew up when they flew SN5?
No. No, it was just launch mount stuff that was left there.
There was a visible explosion.
Oh, yeah. No, it was. That was the first thing I saw when I watched the SpaceX feed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is that burning up?
You could see the debris flying through the air.
Yes, you definitely could. But I'm very happy. Congratulations, SpaceX and everybody there. It was a beautiful flight. I'm looking forward to seeing the next one.
And we want answers about your wall.
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation on on the Twitterverse lately.
The Twitterverse?
Yeah, about what this wall is going up around the tank farm. I mean, I know there's a lot of things they'd like to protect, you know, from engine exhaust, possible explosions.
We get it. All You're that. Building some of the most advanced rocketry in the world right now. You want your privacy. Just don't block us out because we're a bunch of nerds who just want to spectate.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's what that person said. I don't remember. She was it? Yeah, tweeted me and said it could be, you know, protection from this, protection from that, or protection from random strangers with cameras. And I was like, I really hope it's not the random strangers with cameras, because
right, just let us watch.
Yes, there's some absolutely awesome people down there in Boca Chica that are bringing us some awesome coverage. I just want to say I personally appreciate you guys tremendously. The work you're doing is fantastic, and thank you for sharing all that with us. RGV Aerial Photography, might as well go throw a plug out there. They're also always posting awesome photos of the build site, launch pad.
Well, they're on site, so they've got that capability.
Yeah, for sure. And not to mention the pilings and stuff that they're putting down into the earth there at the launch pad. Mm-hmm. Some people were like, it could be a water tower to support the sound suppression system and all that. You know, there was a big, you know, thing about that online. Well, come to find out, Elon just likes watching us wonder about this stuff, because he came right out and said, super heavy launch mount. So we do know now that that is a super heavy launch mount. And they are making great progress with the high bay, the new high bay. Hopefully it'll be done here soon. Elon is talking about a pretty short time frame for seeing a super heavy booster prototype launch.
They've got Bluezilla.
Oh, for sure. Well, those cranes
things
are,
are going along.
Yeah. Elon did say that they will only need two Raptor engines to fly a prototype super heavy. Which, you know, it just blows my mind every time on just how powerful those engines are. That's a lot of weight.
That is.
I mean, it's an extreme amount of weight.
Powerful engine.
Yes, it is. Talking about the Raptor engine, this might be a good time to mention that SpaceX recently just released a picture of their Hawthorne, California facility with one of the beautiful Raptor engines sitting on the left. And then on the right, one we hadn't seen yet, it would be the Raptor vacuum engine, which looks awesome. I mean, it's huge. The nozzle extension is massive. It's very cool. And in the photo, they have this, a lady standing in the center, and she's, you know, looking up at the vacuum engine, which is significantly taller. It actually makes the Raptor look small, even though the Raptor's 10, 11 feet tall. It's big. So, I mean, imagine that vacuum engine. You know, it's way taller than that. 20 foot, maybe? That's two stories.
Yeah, that's a very...
Okay, maybe it's not that tall, but it looks that tall.
If my brain could be deceiving me, because it does that sometimes. But I think I read back and forth on that photo. Everyday Astronaut and Elon were having a conversation about the amount of thrust. And the differences, and Elon said that the thrust on the vacuum wouldn't be much different than on the Raptor.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things. The sea level engine is just that. It's made to burn at sea level. That's what makes it efficient. It's efficient with atmospheric pressure. The Raptor engine, the vacuum engine, that is optimized for vacuum use, which makes it more efficient in a vacuum. So if you were to try to launch a Starship using the vacuum engine at sea level, it would be, it probably wouldn't work very well. I mean, hey, it might work great. I don't know. I'm unfortunately not a rocket engine mechanic or rocket scientist of any kind, but I'm definitely interested. So talking about the vacuum Raptor engine, I was gonna see if I could throw you guys some specs real quick. Here we go. So as of this was kind of old information, I apologize, but the thrust with a vacuum specific impulse of 363 seconds, or 3.56 kilometers a second and sea level ISP of 321 seconds, 3.15 kilometers a second. So it's just a little bit of some specs on that for y'all. Trying to think, was there anything else SpaceX that's been going on? So we got the SailCom 1, Starlink. Oh, Starlink launch. Starlink launch did end up happening.
Yeah.
Beautiful launch. Landing was perfect. They're just getting good at those landings, and it's just so impressive. I'm so stoked. Think about it, okay? When we were kids, it was the shuttle.
Right.
And it was amazing that the shuttle could go to space, do things like help build the International Space Station. It could even fly all the way up to the orbit of the Hubble Space Telescope and then come back and land on the ground. That was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But now think of how impressive it would have been if they would have landed that big tank section back on the ground. I mean, it was unheard of. It wasn't happening back then. Nowadays, our kids aren't going to know anything but rockets landing back on the ground.
Reusability.
Oh, it's so awesome. So cool. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about reusability and stuff lately with, you know, all these different rockets that are supposedly coming out pretty soon, like the New Glenn, the Vulcan, ULA's Vulcan, which I'm very excited for. I'm also excited for the New Glenn.
Don't get off topic.
Hey, listen. Not off topic. SpaceX landing, SailCom 1B. Whenever it came down and it landed at the launch pad, I heard Everyday Astronaut saying that when it was coming down for a landing and you're watching it land, actually, in the background, you can see the lightning rods that will be supporting the New Glenn rocket. And they are extremely tall, so it's going to be a very large rocket.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so that launch went good. More Starlink satellites up there. I think we're pushing 700 satellites now.
I think we're over 700.
Over 700 satellites. They're doing beta testing, been coming back with some good results on the Starlink front. You know, there's a lot of chit chat back and forth on whether it's, you know, going to be as good as they say or not. And just to throw it out there, Elon, we live in a rural area and would love to beta test your Starlink system. Hit us up at Space Travel Pod and we'd love to test that out.
We have satellite internet to begin with.
It's true. It's true. And our satellite internet, though it's Viasat, you know, I mean, it works all right.
Yeah.
But I'd really love something that works better.
Right.
And cheaper. 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 Cheaper.
Yeah.
We pay way too much for internet right now. Okay. I want to move on to Rocket Labs. Love me some Rocket Labs. And tell you the truth, it was the same day that the SN6 flew, and everyone was hyped about that.
Everyday Astronaut even said it. He's like, I'm not gonna watch.
I'm just gonna stay here, and I get it because it was exciting and all that. But then I went back. You were sitting there, and I watched the Rocket Lab release and all that, and we just got. I can't believe it's not Optical that launched and did fantastic and. You know, the Electron puts on such an awesome show. I love watching it.
And of course, if we haven't figured it out by now, we just need to follow the names. What are they naming their missions?
Oh, yeah. Give you a good kind of glimpse as to what the mission is.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, for sure. But they released a bunch of photos and stuff of Earth, you know, from space. And we're all like, what? Come to find out, they had launched their Proton satellite into orbit with that last mission. The Proton satellite is actually a converted kick stage on the top of the Electron rocket.
Yep.
So instead of, you know, wasting that bit of hardware or whatever,
it becoming space junk.
A kick stage just kind of pushes payload a little yeah. further. And instead of throwing it away, they're going to make it into a satellite, and this is going to bring in all kinds of avenues for innovation and easy ways to get ideas and inventions into space.
I'm really surprised that no one had done that.
No, it's clever. It's very clever.
Again, reusability. Reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Right, as much as you can possibly can. And that's an honorable, you know, thing to try to do. But the thing that really caught me about Peter Beck's release and his speech during that was how much he talked about their vision for Rocket Labs and where and the way they want to see themselves moving forward and how they want to be on the forefront of innovation and invention and try to help, you know, smaller people get their stuff into space and be testing and just, you know, all around. Now, the other part of that was Rocket Labs is essentially creating a catalog. Yeah. So if you need a part for your spacecraft, you can buy it right from Rocket Labs. Hmm. You know, so that's going to be cool too. So it's, they're doing fantastic. Their vision for helping humanity move forward and become more active in space and all that is definitely honorable. Peter Beck, I appreciate that, man. That was a very inspiring speech you gave. I love listening to y'all and your press releases and all that stuff. It's very cool, but I really enjoyed hearing about y'all's vision for the future because, you know, when it comes down to it, that's what it's all about. It's all about advancing humanity in space travel and about advancing humanity past the stage we are now. But I don't know. It was great. I really loved it. Unity through space. I love that. I love that idea. I think that should be a hashtag used all the time. I might just do that. But, you know, I mean, space is that thing.
Yeah.
Space is the thing that it doesn't matter where you're from. There's no borders there. I mean, other than the, you know, the obvious. But you could look at anyone. And when, if you're passionate about space and they're passionate about space, nothing else matters. You know, you could sit down and talk space and whatever, and we can all come together and build spacecrafts.
There are no borders.
Right, to go launch to other worlds and learn new things. Like this last Mars 2020, we launched Perseverance along with the helicopter Ingenuity, and then the United Arab Emirates launched their Hope mission, and we're all covering different aspects of it. We're going to land and do some physical exploration.
They're looking at atmospheric conditions and weather patterns and things like that.
Yep, and they're going to try to figure out why Mars is losing gases, losing mm-hmm. stuff out of the atmosphere, which is going to be extremely helpful for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, I mean, even China. You know, China's sending stuff to the moon. They're going to do some exploring there. I mean, it's just one of those things. We can all come together, and I love that. I love that. You know, and this next Artemis, you know, mission, the one that's first coming up, hopefully soon, you know, it's going to have the first woman going to the moon.
Right.
That's cool, because then that dissolves another one of those social things that's been going on. You know, men, women, old, young, whatever, it doesn't matter. We all have a stake in space because it betters humanity and brings us together, and I think that is awesome. Because we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. Trying to think of anything else. ULA, you know, Tory Bruno did his webcast not too long ago. I didn't get a chance to watch it all the way through, but Tory Bruno's another one of those guys that is just so much fun to watch talk because he's so passionate. You know, he's passionate. He's got a dope mustache, you know? He wears cowboy hats and all that. It is cool. I just, people who are passionate about space, I love watching them talk. I want to throw a plug out there, too. This is kind of unprompted, but I want to throw a plug out there to The Angry Astronaut. I've been really enjoying listening to your content lately. It's very informative. He's got a lot of good opinions. And he's got a very unique delivery on those opinions, and I think it's cool. So head on over to YouTube, hit up the Angry Astronaut, and check him out. I think you guys will enjoy him. No more plugs that I can think of right now. I think we've talked about a lot of people. We threw the Everyday Astronaut in there. Oh, the Everyday Astronaut's podcast called Our Ludicrous Future just recently featured Scott Manley as a guest. So that was pretty neat. Go check that out too. And as always, if you want to support the podcast and you like the content we put out, you can head over to the Patreon page that we've recently set up and sign up. We have two tiers to choose from, or a custom tier. head on over there, patreon.com/spacetravel or the Space Travel Podcast, one of the two. Or you can go to our anchor page, anchor.fm/spacetravel. There's a support button right on the main page. Please like the podcast, rate us, write us a review, all that good jazz. And as always, hit us up on Twitter at Space Travel Pod. Your handle?
Oh, I don't remember.
At AmandaStammy19.
Oh, is that what my handle is?
Yes. Oh. And my personal handle is at LukeStammy20. So get on there. We'd love to talk to y'all. I personally love discussing all things space. And I'm going to try to start getting some stickers flowing, maybe some patches. We'll have some contests and stuff on Twitter and start getting those out. I'd like to build, you know, a strong community on there. I think that would be cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not shooting for the stars, pun intended, but
you just want some people to be nerds with.
Yeah, for sure. We live out here in the woods in Louisiana, so I want some people to talk to and chill with. I'm thinking about maybe doing a Discord. We'll see. I've got a lot on my plate right now. As y'all can tell, it's been a large space in between podcasts.
Earlier you were talking about how beautiful of a weekend it was, and you forgot to mention our little spaceman's birthday.
Oh, yeah, my daughter. She turned 5 years old this weekend. I can't believe it. Our little princess is growing up. It was very fun. We had family, and she just had a blast. We actually did a parade. My mom decorated their golf cart, and we got to ride around in the neighborhood and honk the horn and yell, "It's my birthday," to everyone. It was very cool. Very awesome. But anyway, we appreciate each and every one of you guys. Hope everyone is safe and healthy, and we will catch you next time.
I'm Amanda.
And my name is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.